Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome in to the BBP. Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, your Bengals beat writers for the Cincinnati Inquirer and Cincinnati.com. Happy London Week, Jim.
Yeah, it's exciting. I think that's why you're excited. That was a
hell yes.
That was a motivating intro.
That's maybe the most perky I've been for an intro all year.
It woke me up.
We got to wake you up. No, it's. Yep. I am excited. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. The NFL, in case people don't know this, the old inside the BBP, it gets a bit monotonous.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the same stuff week in and week out. This is not the same stuff this week. There's a bit of a pain to all the logistics. There's just a lot of stuff that goes into it. But for the most part, I think especially once we land over there, it's just going to be an exciting week for everybody that's part of us, maybe except for the Bengals.
Well, they're not going to London, Paul.
They're not going to London.
They're playing Washington, and it just happens to be
in London.
In London.
Happens to be in London.
That according was to the head coach.
Yeah, that was the line. I used that in the walkthrough for the emojis.
One,
this week.
One of the best responses of all time.
You know what? Because I originally just laughed at its ridiculousness, and then after I thought about it, I liked it more and more every time I heard it.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I get what he's going for,
right.
and just the way it was worded, it made it even better just because it was fairly silly,
right? And then Jeremy Hill adds on top of that on Monday when he's like, you know, Marvin's message is it doesn't matter if we play in Kroger.
Yes. Oh man, please let them play in Kroger. You know why? Because then they'd have an indoor facility. maybe that would be helpful then instead of practicing in the rain for 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right. So today on the BBP, we're going to get into the Bengals and Browns game. The Bengals win 31-17 at Paul Brown Stadium against the lowly, awful, hapless, probably pathetic Cleveland Browns. Maybe going to go 0-16 this year.
Yeah.
Maybe they are. I don't know. They are awful. So we'll get into what you can take out of that and what you got to kind of say yeah but to. Speaking of things you say yeah but to, we will get into this defense, which despite an easy win, didn't come without more warts.
Right.
We'll hear from Paul Gunther, defensive coordinator, being fairly brutally honest with some players and with his team. Speaking of warts, we'll get to talk to Mike about Mike Nugent, who had his first really bad day this regular season.
Yeah.
He missed two field goals. We'll talk about that. We will talk about Jeremy Hill, who had, you know what, you want to fix your yards per carry average. have a day like Jeremy Hill, you're saying averaging 18.7 per carry. So we'll talk about him, the return of Tyler Eifert, of course. We'll get into many other things, but I just wanted to lay that out for you, what we've got coming. Let's start with this defense, though. What do you make of the fact that the Browns are running all over on them with their sixth quarterback to throw a pass this year? I mean, that guy should have no business doing anything, passing, running, or whatever. He ran for 104 yards. I mean, they scored 17 points.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they weren't able to do things. They were pushing back the Bengals' line.
Yeah.
It's just got to be concerning.
Yeah, it was interesting, Paul, because on one hand, I spent a lot of time with the defense on Sunday post game with Paul Gunther. I spent a lot of time with those guys again on Monday getting into this. So I talked to, I don't know, not all 11, not all 13 in the rotation, but at least half. So a couple of things. One was a hat tip to Hugh Jackson because it was a read option with a quarterback that nobody had seen. You know, Paul Gunther said he saw Hogan throw some passes with the Chiefs in the preseason, watched him in pregame, but the particular read option that was run was nowhere on film. Hogan hadn't run any of it in Kansas City. It was a completely an unscouted look. So on one hand, it's a hat tip to Hugh Jackson. And the defense said, hey, look, we didn't expect this at all. We adjusted to it at halftime. They felt they did a better job after the half. Then there's the touchdown, the 28-yard touchdown to Kevin Hogan. That was kind of a yeah, but. Well, it was a pass. He scrambled. Backs were
turned. Are quarterbacks not allowed to scramble in this league?
So that was kind of a yeah, but. Like, yeah, like he ran 28 yards for a touchdown, but it wasn't the same kind of run that gave us problems earlier. So that was, I thought, interesting.
It was sloppy.
Yeah, it was. So the mood after the game, you know, even Vontaze Burfict, who gets kind of fired up about numbers and things that they do, was like, oh, the quarterback ran for 100 yards. That's all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was strange. And then it kind of fell back into scoreboard.
Yeah.
Scoreboard doesn't
work against the Browns.
Yeah, it was strange, Paul. Paul Gunther, you're right, and we'll hear from him. He wasn't thrilled, hasn't been thrilled.
Nor should he be.
Yeah.
I mean, look at where some of the numbers are with this team right now, defensively. I mean, they're
middle to the pack.
Middle to the back.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on what category you're looking at, I mean, it just hasn't been pretty. It hasn't been what they wanted. And, you know, I just don't know how long excuses about new players and things like that really hold water. To me, with this defense, they never really have.
Yeah, I mean, 15th in points allowed, right around third down conversion, 18th in or whatever, right in there, 15th to 18th in a lot of those key categories, third down conversions, points allowed, yards per game allowed. It's average.
They're 28th in the red zone yeah. defense,
which
the
was
18th tied for 18th in points per game. You know, these are not numbers that you're – I mean, you're in the bottom quarter of the league in rushing yards allowed per play, per game. You know, it's just
– And, yeah, that's the thing, Paul. I mean, Isaiah Crowell averaged 5.3 yards a pop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had 63 yards, and let's be honest. I mean, you know, if the game didn't go the way it did, and credit the Bengals' offense and defense for allowing it to become a blowout – but it's not like they were stopping him either.
No.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, the quarterback was kind of the story, and they're able to kind of hang their hat on, if you will, the uniqueness of it and the unscouted look of it. But the guys that they knew were there got the job done in the run game as well.
I just felt like I continually saw a defensive line getting pushed back and back and back. Now, we asked Marvin Lewis about that in the press conference. He said he has no problem with the point of attack the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I might have a little bit more of a problem with it. Before we go too much further, let's go ahead and bring in Paul Gunther, kind of asked pretty directly about the state of this defense and where it's at and some of the maybe the players that have been underperforming a little bit. So here's defensive coordinator Paul Gunther talking about where this defense is at.
Not only with the new coaches, like, you know, I can't say that the new coaches, hey, remember 2 years ago against Carolina, they were doing this, these adjustments with me, because they haven't been here. So it's all part of that, building that up, along with the new players, the Sean and Margus and, you know, Will Clark to a certain extent is playing a lot in there. Carlos Dansby is a new player for us. So there's a lot of moving pieces in there that each and every week you hope that they can gain the knowledge of the system. That way 5 weeks from now, something like that comes up, boom, we got it.
Are you surprised that through 7 weeks, so last year the scoring defense was at the top of the league,
yeah.
that through 7 weeks, I guess, this group isn't where maybe you'd want it to be in terms of the numbers, you know, whether it's Cleveland rushes for 180 or there's 22 points per game. Are you kind of
Yeah, I don't like where our numbers are right now. So, I mean, but it's our doing. It's our. I mean, a lot of the plays that we've given up have been our error. I mean, our error. I mean, yeah. We let one guy run free in Miami. You know, that otherwise I don't know if they score there. Right. You know, we let one at the end of the game with 17-9 in Pittsburgh, where the guy back runs to the flat, nobody's on him. Right. You know, it's just little simple things like that I can't account for as a coach because you've gone over in practice, and you know.
Does that bother you? Because it's such a veteran.
That's where I'm trying to get to the players is to tighten it. Like last week against New England, we dropped the seam twice, three times in coverage, just for no reason because the guy pumps them off. So it's just if everybody just does it the right way all the time, it should look like it did a year ago. But right now we're just we're a tick off.
Is that you were talking about the you're trying to get up front, trying to find a combination there. Mm-hmm. Hunt and Will they kind of enforce, kind of get more playing time? They deserve more
I think
time?
Clark's doing pretty good. Marcus has been hot and cold. Right. He's done some good things and some other, you know, yesterday he had a couple good rushes. He had one play where, you know, we got a little thing where he gets into the backfield and he's right there, got that we got. It'd be a 5-yard gain, a 5-yard loss instead of it turns into a 15-yard run. I mean, so those are the things that we got to, you know, I always tell the players this, the only thing I care about, I don't care about anything else but putting you guys in the best position to succeed. That's the only thing as a coach that I care about. And if I put you in a position, you got to play. Players got to play. And we got to keep the pressure on the players to keep doing it the right way at this point. That's where we're at. That's the numbers are indicating that.
Is that the key, the guys that have been, you know, at Pro Bowl level player? Can't be hot and cold.
Just like any other good team. Right. You know, if Tom Brady has an off day, they're probably not going to win. If Ben Roethlisberger has an off day, they're probably not going to win. You know, so our great players have got to play great all the time. Against good offenses, you give up one or two plays, that's it.
Do you need more consistency? You need more consistency from Tez, Dunlap, and the big three?
Well, no, I mean, everybody. That and Michael, you know, the corners. The safeties, you know, so everybody. But I mean, it's not like, that's just where we're off. We're just, we're a tick off here, tick off there from where we were a year ago, really. I think our sack numbers are somewhat similar to what, I couldn't tell you. I know our points are up a little bit, obviously. We've given up late touchdowns last week against New England, the one in Denver. You know, the one in Pittsburgh was late in the game. So, you know, we get down in the red zone, we got to hold them to 3 points. You know, so we're just going to continue to keep working at it. I mean, that's, you know, we had a couple of these games a year ago where, you know, they had some yardage on us, but when they got down in the red zone, we tightened up. You know, so that's, you know, I think if we continue to move in that direction, we'll be back at the end of the year. After 16 games, we'll be right where, you know, where we were a year ago.
One thing that I kind of want to touch on is, you know, Carlos Dansby had a rough week at New England, and we've just seen he had 11 tackles yesterday. You know, that's great, but a lot of them come downfield, and we've seen some really bad moments in trying to make tackles, having some missed tackles, particularly on Sunday. But I don't know that they have anywhere else to turn to. I mean, people say Nick Vigil, but there were some issues with Nick Vigil in preseason even.
Yeah.
And he got in for one play in the game and didn't go well.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, so let's rewind it back a little bit because people do forget about things in preseason. I remember talking to Nick about this. The long plays up the seam that Minnesota and Indianapolis struck in the preseason, 59 was in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And he admitted, I blew all those plays. Now you can say, wow, that was 7 weeks ago, but he's in practice, right? I mean, and it's not like that Tyler Croft and CJ Uzama are, you know, just kind of trash guys. I mean, they've got some athleticism and Tyler Eifert's been practicing. So something, they're seeing something in practice. And then you mentioned the one snap he played on Sunday was red zone, four linebackers in. It was from left to right, Vigil, Vinny Ray, Ray Maluga, Vontaze Burfict. Your three veterans got washed out of the play. It's a terrible look for them. That leaves your rookie having to fill a hole. He would have been one-on-one with Kroll, who knows how that would have went, but he never got there.
No.
He just kind of stood flat-footed, and all of a sudden, that dude's in the end zone. The one play, I mean, that's a pretty important one.
Yes. It is.
So that's not, you know, that's not helping.
If we're going to hear at every turn with this defense and some of the issues they've had about new players,
right,
and new pieces, and about how, you know, well, they're getting used to playing together, and these new guys are out there. You're not going to go adding another one, I guess. I mean, if that's what you think is part of the problem, you're not going to go throwing another rookie into the mix, right, that has a history of blowing assignments.
Right.
So I get it. I don't know where they really have to turn to, but, you know, Carlos Dansby's had a rough run. Really, a lot of guys have had a rough run of it.
Yeah, and you know, Paul said that, you know, mm-hmm, your best players have to play your best.
Yeah,
and he equated it to the franchise quarterbacks with Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger. If those guys don't play well, their teams lose. So he needs Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap and Vontez Burfict and Adam Jones, name them all. He's like, they've got to play to their capability, or it's not going to work.
Vontez Burfict had a few ugly attempts at tackles yesterday, yeah, in open field, where you're like, wait, was that 55?
Right.
It's uncharacteristic type stuff. Makes you wonder there. We haven't talked about Geno Atkins much.
No.
I mean, this was supposed to be, we talked in the preseason about everyone, Paul Gunn thought he was going to be better than last year, yeah, and there was zero reason to believe that he wouldn't be.
His preseason was ridiculous.
He was. He really was. I mean, he looked everything that he was last year and then some. And so, yet this year, he's been a relative non-factor. He's been more of just a guy from 2014 than the guy from 2015.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that would be. I don't really have any answers for it. And we're obviously not going to get them from him.
No. No.
Not that he would have them, but I'm sure he, by all accounts, seems to be doing okay, but you're not seeing him break through. This was the Browns' offensive line yesterday.
Yeah. Who had a new center at halftime.
Yeah. And we still didn't really see much of him.
No.
It just makes you wonder. It's very odd.
Yeah. This is purely anecdotal, and last year the numbers stood out in the end, but, you know, for BBP listeners, up in the press box, you know, I sit next to Paul, and then there's kind of the line of Cincinnati media, and then down the line further, and this is home and away, you'll get your home media, and I don't know how many times last year where we're watching line play with the binoculars or whatever it may be, and you just say, Geno!
Yeah.
Because, and he may not have had a sack, he may not, you know, the ball may have been completed, but you just sort of shouted it because it was like, holy cow.
There he goes.
There was 97. And honestly, I mean, we've only maybe said that or that sort of moment. I bet there's at least a game or two where we're out of these seven where he haven't said his name once.
Once, yeah.
Or it's been only one or two times.
Mm-hmm. And that's just not the way it's been.
It's strange.
It's a strange, strange boy. I don't get why it's just a very odd scenario.
That affects everything up front.
It's what it is the, you know, when I wrote the thing last year about Geno Atkins deserving to be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year and the value of disruption. It was because he is, and Paul Gunther talked at length about it, and anybody that looks at the Bengals defense could tell you that everything that they do revolves around him being completely dominant.
Right.
Because the reason they don't blitz much, the reason that they're fine letting him just get in that gap and not worry about anybody doing anything there, the reason they got teams off schedule when he breaks through to reroute a run or to actually get the tackle for loss, right, or a sack or whatever. The way the defense is built revolves around his disruption. So maybe the lack of it plays a pretty big role into why the defense has been getting beat up pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. it's just an interesting thing to talk about at this point.
But yeah, you know, another guy who had a great preseason, and Paul Gunther mentioned, he included him in the list of your top guys is Michael Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michael was hurt last year from all of the year, starting with the MCL.
He played with a back injury.
And then the back injury late. But he was there. And this year, again, like Gino, had a great preseason. You know, he said he felt really good, had thought this was going to be one of his best years all around. And, again, you don't really see 90. And
yeah.
It's not, and I'm not saying sack numbers because that's not really his job. You know, I know Paul asked him to drop into coverage at times and things, but, you know, when a defensive coordinator says your name, obviously you're not, you know, doing some things that he wants to see.
Mm-hmm. Mike's looked a little stiff to me at times compared to what he used to be. He used to be, and granted, you change as you get a little bit older. I mean, he's not getting younger.
Right.
He's not old yet, but getting there. He used to be so good at bending the edge and really getting low and going around the corner, and I just feel like I don't see that as much. He plays a little bit more straight up, and I don't know what that is, but the production obviously hasn't been there. Yeah. Really, Carlos is the only one up front that I see that is game
affecting
in and
things.
Game out affecting yeah. things. I mean, he's back there. He's coming around the edge. He's been the same guy he was last year.
Yeah.
But the rest of it's just not happened really well. You talked to Domotopeko as yep. well about this concept and just about the defense in general. I just wanted to bring in him. You know, this was good. He was pretty forthright and honest and just an interesting look from Domotop. So here's defensive tackle Domotopeko on the defense.
Now's our time to start this run, man. And,
right.
We already gave up too many losses, and we get these two back. We got that one yesterday. Get this one back, we'll be even.
Right.
We're only one game back, you know.
Right.
So it's a good time for us to start getting the run going.
Is this? And I know it's new year, new team, all the time. But is it surprising to you that, like, I mean, even Sean? And I know there's new faces. I get that, but
mm-hmm.
that it hasn't quite been for you guys just
well,
clicking.
Yeah. Well, I know that because we're missing some pieces and some key pieces
right.
with Leon, freaking
right.
Our safety 20. You
Reggie,
know, Reggie
yeah.
has a big. He had 8 picks by
right.
this time. You know, our.
Right.
You know, he was.
Yeah.
He was a ball hawk. You know, so
right.
and then we got Carlos Ansley in there. It's, we got a couple big new pieces in there.
Right.
But the cool thing that Paulie said is that we fixed these couple things and we're not too far from where we need to be. So
right.
we're a couple of clicks away from where we need to be and. And we're in the middle of season right now, so we got time to, you know, fix it. We'll
right.
be all
right. Right. And I guess just finally to that end, how does it take – I know everyone wants it to happen
yeah.
as fast as possible.
Right. It does.
So
it takes some time. And,
okay.
And how do you do that? What kind of time are you talking about? I'm talking about during the week, Wednesday through Saturday, during practice.
Right.
That's where you improve on these things, you know.
Okay.
It doesn't just happen Sunday. It happens right now, you know, on this time right here where we can look at it. We can get in our head mentally and then go through Wednesday physically and do it, you know. So it's every day we're going to try to improve that.
Is it coming? Do you feel it?
I feel like we're starting to get pieces back together how we were last year, especially with Eifert back.
Right.
Offense scoring points like that,
right.
you know, scoring a lot
right.
of points. And that's what makes it tough to beat is when we have a lead on people, we can pin our ears back, we can rush the passer, and
right.
we're fucking good at that once we do that, you know.
Right.
So
yeah,
we'll be fine.
That's an unknown. That's an underrated part of defense too sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Because when it's always one possession or tight. I'm not knocking anybody, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
When it's
a close game, they can run it, they can pass it. But
right.
when we're up, we have a lead by 14 or more.
Right.
We know it's passed, you
right.
know. We'll see y'all.
Right.
So, yeah, but it's coming together, man. I for being back, dude, that was uplifting to the whole city.
All right, so coming off the Bengals' first win in like 3 weeks, we just
yeah.
spent 15 minutes ripping the defense.
It's fair, though.
It is.
Because this group came in,
yeah.
you know, and I know we talked about this last BBP, too, but
I feel like every BBP.
Well, but you know what?
But you know what? Because
there's a lot of money over there.
And it's the most relevant topic around this team.
Yeah.
Especially yesterday when you see the offense getting it together. You see Brandon LaFell really starting to pick up
yeah.
some steam. You see the running game have a day. And I will say, so when we talk about things that you can take with a grain of salt, I take the defense holding Cleveland with a grain of salt. I thought they didn't. I didn't think they
yeah.
played very well. I think the offense and the running game, despite how bad that Browns defense is, they haven't been that bad against the run this year.
Right.
Not that bad.
No.
I take something from that. I said last week I thought we saw some things start to turn for this offense in New England. That 2.5 quarters, granted it wasn't four, but I thought you saw some things where they really had the Patriots and Bill Belichick off balance. Yeah. And you saw, man, when Dalton's playing like this and they get the running game going a little bit and LaFell can be effective and AJ's as good as he's ever been.
Yeah.
You start to see it, and then you get Eifert maybe in the mix. You start to see the right direction coming. I don't see the right direction coming on the other side of the ball. I see more of the same garbage, the same warts laying around. And so, but Jeremy Hill in particular has a huge day, goes for 168 yards, averaging 18.7 a carry, comes out, he's still dealing with this, they're calling it a chest injury.
Yeah. So it's a shoulder.
It's a shoulder. He's been dealing with that and playing through it. That's why they kind of scaled back his carries. But it was the explosiveness. It was getting through the hole. Marvin Lewis said something after the game that I found. It's not new. It's what they've been saying to him. But just it being out there, get your shoulders going uphill, and he's special. And it's really been true. That they are just so hard trying to coach the bounce out of him.
Right.
He just wants to do it so badly. It's what derailed him all last year. And it's why he was so good as a rookie. Just went. There was no think. He just went. And you saw him on those runs, the long runs, he blew through the hole and then got to the second level and did his thing. And by blowing through the hole could break through an arm tackle.
Right.
He hasn't broken many arm tackles because he's trying to shake guys down. Run through him, you know, and when he's done that, you see the long runs and you see the guy. I mean, that was the guy from 2014,
right?
On Sunday, breaking through arm tackles at the second level and gone.
Yeah, it's and it's interesting, Paul, because we've been hearing this. I mean, you at the very beginning of the year, you can dig these up in Cincinnati.com, you know, search function. I mean, you said this was going to be a Jeremy Hill huge year.
I did.
But it was based on. Because we have our opinions, but it's always based on things we see or told. And to me, a lot of that, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of that was based on what we heard from the coaches, what we saw in camp and practice of him doing exactly that. And then for some reason, you're right, like the game started, and then you would see this weird like jitterbug type stuff where there were, New England specifically, and then there was one another Sunday with Paul where we looked at each other, we saw the hole in the press box.
Oh, yeah.
And then he jumped to the into traffic.
Yeah.
And we're like, what was that?
Right.
So, and who knows? I mean, obviously he's down there and he sees what he sees, but you're right for Marvin to just kind of be like, yeah, see, look.
and it's true. And often, I think with a back like Jeremy, a couple of plays like that where it works, just blowing through the hole and taking off, that's a snowball stuff for a running back. I think a running back can get in his own. Yeah. Just ask the J Train in Miami,
right?
Who's gone for over 200 in 2 weeks. I mean, anybody that follows the Bengals watched that Thursday night game and saw. I mean, that running backs group was a disaster, and now they've just ripped off two straight 200 yard games. You can get on a roll. You can get that thing going.
Yeah, and that's something maybe the O line has even talked about too. And while there were some changes and, you know, the rotation on the right side and, you know, Jake Fisher got in some plays on the left side. They like that stuff too.
Yeah.
Because if that hole is there, I mean, look, it's the NFL. The holes aren't there long, so you need the guy to get there. And that creates a whole other confidence for those big guys too.
We've seen more pulling. We talked about early in the season. It was like, where's all the pulling stuff that Jeremy Hill and that group have been so good at? We've seen a lot more of it lately.
Yeah.
Of those guys getting out and running. They do it so well. Zeitler, Bowling, Obwehi.
That's where he's really shining this year, Cedric. For all of his issues in pass pro.
Because he is very athletic, and it allows him to go out and be an athlete.
Yeah.
When he's pulling over, I mean, he just enveloped that DB on that one run. Yeah, but I mean, he has plays like that where he can get out there in a hurry, and they're doing more of that side to side pulling stuff, and I think it's proven to be pretty effective. That's Ken Zampezi figuring things out.
Right.
you know? So like I said, I think you're seeing the offense, the worm is starting to turn for them. I do want to bring some of Jeremy Hill talking on Monday with reporters just about where he's at and some of the momentum that's been built here the last couple of weeks. So here's Jeremy Hill on Monday, the day after his huge 168-yard day against the Browns.
Yeah, I think that's what everyone has in mind, especially our coaches and players alike, just getting going in the right direction. I think when you put bad things on film over and over and over, it kind of becomes, you know, what people expect from you, and that's exactly the opposite of what we expect. And what we expect is kind of what we did out there on Sunday, so we just got to continue to put performances like that together and string them together and build the confidence we need going down the stretch for us, and we still have every goal is attainable for us at this point.
I don't keep track of this sort of thing. It seemed to be the first time we kind of unloaded a little bit in the end zone. Had a little bit of a celebration there after the 74-yarder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot all about that. Oh, yeah. I think it was a little something. Yeah.
Just, because usually you've been so, you've just been handing the ball to the ref, but did you feel like it was time to maybe see the real Jeremy show up there, or what?
I don't know. I don't want to make too big of a deal of it. We'll see how things go for it.
Yeah. This is just something you didn't plan that, I guess. Right? You just, did it overcome you?
It's spur of the moment type deal. We'll see how it goes. So. I don't know. We'll see.
I guess you don't have a 74-yarder every day.
Huh? No, especially for me. So we'll see, though. I hope I get a couple more of those. It'd be nice.
Okay. Coming back here, we've talked a little bit about how the offense is turning. But before we do that, you know, we're going to have to talk about what's so jaggy here in a minute.
they were taunting you to scoreboard operator. Paul Brown was just rubbing it
what
in.
They got down so early. Game against the Raiders.
So people know this. Late in the day, we're cranking in the press box. Up on the ribbon board is the only lights on in the stadium. It's Oakland Jags. Except the score was inverted.
Yes.
I didn't see this. I thought the Jags had won.
No, they had.
So I was kind of making fun of Skinny, and you're like, no. This is really just like jabbing me.
It almost was. It's like somebody is out there trying to. It was the only lights on in the whole stadium. Yeah. Like the Jags beat the Raiders. No, they didn't. They got throttled. Because Blake Bortles is a coach killer. I've decided Blake Bortles is a coach killer. He absolutely killed me yesterday. They're 2-4. Let's just need 6 more wins. That's all.
Your math is kind of evening out here with Skinnies for the Browns.
And Gus Bradley's going to get fired. It's not good. All right, but hey, we've got a new sponsor here. So if you love football and you are ready to get into the action, you got to check out BetDSI.com. They have over 20 years in the business. They're one of the top rated businesses. They're safe. I play there. It's just you can get all your betting needs taken care of. You get everything you want.
We got a special going on too at betdsi.com. Sign up today, get $10 free to try their service. Also offering 100% bonus on your first deposit. So get in touch with their customer service people. And you get free and easy payment of winnings. I know out there in this this atmosphere, you know, some places having some struggles with that. So BetDSI, live in-game wagering on football, basketball, or major sporting events as well.
You can put in the promo code BEAT10, and you get a free wager. So you can go in there, put in BEAT10, BEAT10 for us, as in Bengals Beat Podcast. You can get your free wager and start winning today. So go to BetDSI.com now. That's BetDSI. You can play virtually everything there. All right, so go check that out. Anyway, meanwhile, we move on here. So the Jags were no good.
No.
The Jags were no good. They're 2-4. And the other thing is Mike Nugent had a rough day, and Bengals fans don't like that.
No.
They really don't.
Fortunately for Mike, you know, he didn't have a situation like Arizona and
he was upstaged.
Seattle. Yeah.
He was upstaged.
You know, the Bengals were able to kind of put a hurt on
you stayed
Cleveland
up for
without
that.
Him.
Did you stay up for that?
You know, yes and no. I was awake. You know what? I actually watched North Dallas 40.
Wow.
I'm like, you know, let me fire up this 1979 football movie.
Classic.
You know, that was a little more entertaining to me than Seattle,
Same
Arizona.
Level of play at some point in time. Although I enjoyed it particularly. I loved every bit of overtime. You know, it got worse, and like the six thing, and then the first missed. I mean, Bruce Arians, kudos NBC catching Bruce Arians' completely gut reaction on that missed field goal.
I have seen the highlights.
Putting his hand up, thinking he's gonna say yes, and realizing this damn kicker did it to me again, and he throws his play sheet down in complete disgust. And the shot of Hauschka's reaction was just amazing work.
Yeah.
Amazing
Pete
work.
Pete Carroll, too. The great sideline cam work of Pete Carroll. he has his human seatbelt guy.
Yes.
Like you say for Adam Jones and Tez. Like, it's possible.
This is perfect. Employs it. Pete Carroll and Marvin Lewis need to get in contact. Talk about the human seatbelt.
Yeah.
This is great.
this is how it works.
This is it. This is how it works. That guy, I love that he just does. He just stands there right behind him whenever he goes a little too far. Seatbelt comes around and moves him back. And Carroll has the understanding, when this guy seatbelts me, I need to come back.
Right.
I need to move back. Now, I don't know how open to it Adam Jones von Hesperfect would be. Right. If someone started grabbing their seatbelt,
right,
I could see there being some reaction of the negative variety, but I still say we need the what do we call it? The designated Tez restrainer, the DTR.
The DTR.
Yeah, the designated Tez restrainer.
There you go.
Which, by the way, speaking of, how about that play in the first quarter, right in the beginning of the game, Terrell Pryor coming in the slant, Vontaze Burfict, because the ball went over his head, he literally put his hands up while flying in midair towards him.
Right.
You know, that play goes by. Nobody says much.
Right.
It's certainly not going to be talked about on national television like everything was last week. It showed to me a guy very, very well aware of the NFL's message.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate, Paul. Tez was available briefly in the locker room. And there wasn't time to get to any and everything. He wasn't available Monday. He wasn't available all last week.
No.
To talk about the New England stuff. So he's hard to, you know, there's a restrainer somewhere in that locker room. But, you know.
DTR's got hands on him in non-game situations.
Yeah, so unfortunately, you know, we can't bring you what his thoughts on all of that stuff. But you're right. At least, hey, you know, we spent some time saying, hey, dude, you can't do those things. So you're right to bring that up this week to say, look, here was an instance you know, where maybe, 55 from not too long ago would have tried
unloaded
to send Terrell Pryor to the hospital.
Right, but he was, I mean, it was like a guy waving the white flag at the league, just saying, here I am with my hands back trying not to be the aggressor here. And, you know, you just want, I mean, that's.
But here's the funny thing, because you're right, you were about to compliment him, but to me, for other people, they'll be like, oh, see, look.
Right.
you can do it.
Yeah. Well, but I think some people will say that's not how he plays football.
Yeah.
And that's maybe going to be part of him not playing with as much production as he has or whatever. He's not playing out there like a wild man. And that's what made him great. He's playing out there like you know, he's neutered.
Yeah.
In his style of play. So
it'll be interesting. I guess we'll just have to see more of it as it goes.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right about that. We went on a tangent away from Nuge.
He's thankful for that.
Yeah, he's thankful for everything that helped cover yesterday. I mean, here's the thing about Nuge. He hadn't missed a kick inside 50 yards all year. He hit a huge, essentially game winner that gets the Jets. I mean, he had been pretty reliable.
Yeah, the only source of offense in the red zone.
Right. And you know what? I went through just to remind, because everybody said, I just have no faith when Mike Nugent lines up over a kick in a big moment that it's ever going to go in. And I hate to fight fire with, you know, like facts. He is, in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter since 2011, basically when he got here, he's 11 of 11.
Yeah.
He's 3 of 4 in overtime. Only misses the one that everyone brings up Every single time they talk about no faith in Mike Nugent. The guy's 14 of 15 in the last 2 minutes in overtime.
Yeah.
But all anyone ever talks about, yeah, but that time against Carolina, he should have won because he missed. And granted, Mike Nugent misses more than he should. He's 82% guy career. But if you're going to talk about, you don't know in the big moment if he's going to make it, he actually has done quite a bit of that. And he was 13 of 13 before this day.
Right.
He had a bad day, right? To me, when evaluating kickers in this league, guys like Cantazzaro or Hauschka or any of these guys, Goskowski's missed an extra point 2 weeks in a row, and he's like as accurate as it gets, right? When evaluating these guys, I need to see a streak. I want to see something that is mentally spiraling before I consider to go out in that pool of mess out there of kickers and trot somebody new in, a new guy with different issues.
Yeah, it does crack me up, Paul, because, look, I understand it's a fan thing. The back ends of rosters, just in general, are not good. So why is there a thought that the guy who hasn't been employed all year is better than the one who has been? And, you and I, we even brought it up a while ago, Robbie Gould, former Pro Bowler, one of the most accurate kickers in history. He was out that. He was that guy. He was a late cut for cap reasons in Chicago. Well,
he was still sitting there.
Was still sitting there for a reason. And yes, his career numbers dictate that. But you look closer at Robbie Gould's numbers, and that accuracy had started to slip. So, it's kind of the devil in a lot of ways. There's very little unknown about Mike Nugent. So, you're right. He had a bad day, but you're right, Paul. You were right to at least balance out the Twitter storm,
I'm not trying. I've also sat here.
We have
sat here many times and said they need to consider other options. We said it in the preseason when he was really struggling, and you're wondering, and should they have done so? We talked about it last offseason.
Yeah.
About the need to look into the kicker situation.
And they did. It's so funny thing, Zach Hocker, if there was ever a chance for a guy to win a job over Mike Nugent, was Zach Hocker.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? He got hurt in practice.
Yeah.
And couldn't kick.
Couldn't kick.
What are you going to do then? You have 90 men on a roster. You're not going to bring in a third kicker, which actually, by the way, they did, who also got hurt, kept him around.
Yeah.
So they tried. It's just that,
it's surprisingly hard to make a kick, 50-some yards away from a target with 65,000 people watching you and dudes coming after you.
Yeah.
I just think people underestimate how hard it is. Anybody can just show up and kick make kicks. It's just not the case.
Nope.
So, anyway, I want to bring a little bit of Mike Nugent, sort of talking about watching other kickers have bad days, moments like that. I always wonder what it's like to be a kicker and watch a kicker just choke to death in one of those games. But anyway, so a little bit with Mike Nugent from Monday.
If you kind of look at your performance in a vacuum, and I'm sure you're disappointed with the misses. Does it ease it when you guys still win the game as opposed to maybe if you lose by two?
A couple people have asked me that. Yeah, it kind of does. If I could say it eases it, only because it's like, okay, the game I had today did not contribute to a loss. I think that really, that's the good thing, is at the end of the day, it's like, okay, did we win the game? Yep, we won. I had a really rough game against Atlanta a couple years ago, but offense and defense did so well, we still won the game. Not by a ton, because they hit an onside, I think, at the end. But it was close enough where they had to kick an onside kick, but it's one of those things. It does help when it's like, okay, worst case scenario, we won the game today.
You compartmentalize that.
Best case scenario.
You compartmentalize that where even if you make a game-winning kick, where I'm sure driving home, you got to feel good about it. It's a clutch kick. It won a game for us, all of that. Or is it still always, no matter what, the next kick?
I think it definitely – that's always a good thing. I missed a 52 or a 50 in New York to go up by four, and then coming back and hitting the 47. It's just one of those things. It's like, okay, it's kind of my fault why we have to kick like the game winner right now. So if you can get that mindset, as in like, what can I do again just to put just to put our team ahead? And but yeah, like you said, you're always going to feel good about contributing to a win.
All right. So we've covered offense, defense, special teams. Bottom line, I think about this team is I think you come away encouraged by what you saw from the offense, despite the Browns' defense being pretty horrid, and still a little concerned about the defense, considering some of the just things that they continue to have trouble picking up and adjusting to. And special teams has been causing more problems than solutions all year. More penalties, obviously the missed field goals, but more punts that gunners can't track down and get to.
No return game at all.
Zero return game. I mean, Adam Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not blocking anything. They're not getting any returns. I talked to Darren Simmons last week, and he's basically like, it's just all of it's got to get better. It's just, it's, and I said, well, there's the excuse of there's a lot of young guys, and he cut me off. It's not an excuse, it's a fact. There's like nine dudes right. who haven't really done this before out there. So, which brought me to something I briefly got to in my emojis on Monday, and that was the way the special teams, I sent out the alien emoji.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's alien to what they've been.
Yeah.
The last 4 or 5 years. It makes me lean. I lean more every week towards Cedric Pierman over William Jackson. Every week I do when I see the special teams look lost.
Yeah.
It's so much been a part of this team's fabric and what's made them so good and so underrated in recent years, because it's just, they've been great at hidden yards and all that stuff, and they're just awful at it right now. And it kills them in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Maybe if you get a guy like Pierman who's a captain, a Pro Bowler on special teams, maybe you get a guy like that back, and it fixes a lot of things. And there's a ripple effect.
Because you can move – there's a definite ripple effect, because you can slide one guy to a bench.
Mm-hmm.
You cut a guy, first of all, who Cedric Pierman would be better than.
You talked to Seth a little bit.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's itching. You know, he's like, sure. Obviously it's up to the doctor. He's like, I feel good. He's like, it's a broken bone, so I need to. Need to tell me it's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but he's antsy. He's never been in a situation before. He does feel like he could affect change in some way. But he's like, man, it's not in my control. So he's kind of like everybody else.
Wondering.
So
after week eight, so the Bengals will play.
And they get the bye.
Play the Redskins and have the bye. And at that point, Jackson or Pierman could come back.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying they're healthy enough to do so, but they could at that point then return. And so the Bengals could pick which one of those two, because only one can do it, to come back. We'll see what happens at that session. That'll be a conversation topic for the bye week for sure. All right. Are you feeling mad at all?
Man, I'm always angry.
All right. You're always – all right. So let's bring it in and let's find out why Jen's mad. Tell them why you're mad, son.
Yeah, it seems like these are either food or traffic related.
Chalk.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go traffic. I'm not going to go travel. we might have some of that going to London and back. You know what, Paul? Man, you can't order delivery and wait 50 minutes.
No.
And this just happened Monday. This is fresh anger, people.
A lot of times
it builds up over a week.
Unlike your food.
No.
The anger is fresh.
Yeah. Man, you put in a thing, and when the whole, the whole way they hook you is how fast they are. Not saying who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, down the street from where I work.
No, nor are you being freaky about it.
No, not at all.
No.
They were not fast.
No. No, but you're not being freaky.
No.
No.
Here's how angry I was. I was out in the hall waiting. Dude came in, he was all apologizing. I was like, I don't care.
I don't care. Give me my food.
Give me my food.
Give me my food because I'm
dying. There better not be a pickle on it.
Was there a pickle?
There was not.
He's heard the stories. That's the last thing he needed. That's the last thing he needed at that point was to put a pickle on your sandwich after it's coming in late. Well, sorry about that. I'm sorry you had to deal with that. That's a tough life right there.
It's stuff like that. It's stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be slow across the crosswalk. Give me a pickle when I say no pickle.
Nothing. Some of the stuff you say, I'm like, come on, man. Like, just relax. But the slow crossing on the crosswalk is the only one that, that like, boiled my blood. You hit – that was a soft spot. You're right. Now, but you're right. Like, long delivery times, when that's – when you sold me on something else.
Exactly.
When the, I'm not going to you because you have the greatest food ever. I'm right. going to you because you said it's going to come here fast and be convenient.
Right.
So don't screw me on that.
Right.
It's like if you told me the food's going to be great, it's going to take a while. I'm okay with that, but the food better be great.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
I feel where you're coming from. All right, so I'm glad you're mad about that. So we got our big week now. So for those that don't know about how the Bengals plan works, Bengals will fly out. They'll have a regular week here. So they had the Monday walk, the Monday review, Tuesday off day, Wednesday full practice, Thursday regular practice. That, but after their practice on Thursday, they fly, and they'll go straight from CVG to Heathrow and land in Heathrow at about like 6:15 in the morning.
Yep.
Their London time.
Yes.
So you're look. It's like, you know, whatever it is, it's like 1:30. It's 5 hour difference. Which, in case they wanted us to be more confused about what time it always is, there's a daylight savings time that happens in London the weekend we're there, but not back here in the States.
Exactly.
So overnight, a daylight savings time will make it 5 hours ahead to 4 hours ahead in between London and Cincinnati, but the Cincinnati time will never change.
Right.
Because I already won't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, right.
Trying to like file stuff and know what time it is and deadlines, and God knows what. So they will land there early in the morning and then have a full day of practice. There's a practice
their
in the afternoon,
Friday,
like an hour long practice. There's press conferences and a media availability, and that'll be a full day. There's Bengals bars down in Trafalgar Square down there in London, all open all weekend, where they're having events down there. They'll have a little walkthrough on Saturday at Wembley.
Yep.
And then on Sunday, they'll play the game 9:30 a.m. Local time in Cincinnati, and fly back directly after the game.
Yep.
Washington doing the same thing.
Yep.
Both it was everybody thought that was the most efficient way to do it. And it's business trip. 100%. They really are not giving these guys really any time to do anything else. So you didn't want to welcome in, oh, bring your families. You'll have plenty of downtime. No, there's really not a lot. There's going to be some family there, obviously, but for the most part, it's hard to do anything but focus on the game when they've got that going. So that's a little bit about where this week's going to be. So this whole thing is going to throw off some stuff with the BBP, particularly down the road. But we're still going to get you in your Thursday. I actually got a treat for you. I don't know. Don't get too excited. I talked to JT O'Sullivan, who played in the World League, played for the Bengals, played on 13 teams in the NFL, but he played for the Bengals for a year. And he was in the World League for multiple years. Really interesting stuff on international football and how the relationship with the game is, and I just thought it was really interesting. So we're going to have that as a throwback Thursday this week for the second PBP2, which will knock out before we all go heading over to the other side. But keep an eye out also on Cincinnati.com, on our Facebook page, everything. We're going to have our Twitter handles, obviously. We're going to be loading you up with all kinds of photos and video and live shows and stories and everything from over there in London. So make sure you keep it locked into Cincinnati.com all week. We're sending the team over.
Yeah.
It's the whole team is going. We're five of us. Me, you, Sam Green, Kareem Elgazar, Doc, of course. All five of us over there bringing you all the coverage from over there. We're going to have some. I'm gonna have a couple pints at some point.
See, you know, we dumped the Swedish Minute, rightfully so.
This is the wrong time. Rightfully so.
Yeah, well, because we're going to England. You know, we haven't heard from the Swedes. Screw them. But Bengals, UK. You guys have been talking for 10 months now about us coming over and us getting to see you and hang out and
so let's do it.
Meet in person. So, yeah, I think Friday night's probably the night for that.
Friday night at the Admiralty is the name is the name of the Bengals bar. It's go on the Bengals site. You can find they have all their pub information, Bengals meetups. Friday night at the Admiralty there in London, we're going to be down there hanging out, doing a Facebook live show, just doing, hanging out, talking to Bengals fans. And if you're so, if you're there, come on down. If you want to say hello, we'd love to have a drink with you and talk some Bengals football or whatever the hell else is on your mind.
Yeah,
what? Just try to make Jim mad. Maybe they'll all bring some pickles. I don't know. We'll see.
Nah,
we'll see.
I'm shaking my head. Nah. You know what? You know who would bring pickles? The Finns. I want Finns. Don't bring no pickles. Finns. Yeah, why not?
You're just taking on all of Scandinavia at this point. You're just like all of the whole
I'm
area.
Trying to see who's listening.
Yeah, the Finns.
I'm testing you.
Are you listening, Finns? Are you listening? We're coming for you next. We haven't heard from you. So, all right. Swedes, nah. Finns, nah. I don't know who we're for yet. We're for UK.
Yeah.
We're all the world about the UK. All right, so we're gonna get out of here. Since we're just getting it going, I just feel like, I mean, it's London, Rolling Stones, right?
Sure.
I feel like it's guys. So how about start me up? You know, let's get the Stones going. It's funny. I've been doing the music from the team, the city that the Bengals are playing every single week. I've been doing this for years on the walkthrough. Finally! Finally! It pays off with a grand slam. I've been waiting forever to have one where you just can't deny it. To get all of, I mean, London's music scene obviously is just incredible. So, Rolling Stones, start me up. We're about ready to get this big week going here for the Bengals, so we will talk to you next time on the BBP.